John here, and we've got a new sponsor, DistroKid. Now that you've finished your latest Pirate Math SpongeCore Twitch track, it's time to get it out there so everyone can hear it. DistroKid helps musicians get their music on all the major streaming platforms, and artists keep 100% of their royalties. And because you're a high-gain listener, you get 30% off. Just go to distrokid.com/VIP/high-gain. That's distrokid.com/VIP/high-gain. And now DistroKid has an app. The DistroKid app is available for iOS and Android. You can download it at distrokid.com/app or in the app and Play stores. We'd like to take a minute to thank our pals over at Isotope, makers of software and plugins for audio repair, mixing, and mastering. The new gold standard of audio repair, Isotope RX11, is coming in May. Buy RX10 now on sale and get RX11 absolutely free when it's released. We use Isotope products here at the High Gain. It's an important part of how we've been able to bottle pure podcast gold week after week. High Gain listeners get 10% off using the promo code FRET10. That's FRET10. That's all at isotope.com. IZOTOPE.com.
Hey, this is Ed Peterson.
And this is John Kilticka.
This is the High Gain Podcast, guys.
The High Gain Podcast, guys.
John caught me looking at my notes because I didn't remember what I was going to say.
Yep.
Yeah. Where are we, John?
Where are we?
Yeah, where?
We are in beautiful West Seattle, Washington.
Oh, it's great. What was the weather like today, John?
It was cold. It was chilly.
Yeah, it's a little chilly. It's, you know, getting towards the end of the year.
Yep.
Then what are we supposed to talk about? Is there something else? I forget.
Nope. That's no. It. That's the gist of it right there.
Okay. So I covered it, pretty much.
You pretty much covered it,
okay,
yeah.
That's cool.
Other than that, we just, you know, we talk about guitars. We do the thing.
Oh, yeah.
We do the thing like we do.
Yeah. We do it. I brought John some Swedish fish today.
I love the Swedish fish.
You know what occurred to me, John?
What's that?
Is that, I almost don't even want to say it. That band has not come up in a while. We have not talked about those
ABBA?
That band. They have not come up in quite a while, I don't think.
I think there's going to be some new ABBA news in the new year.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Like new ABBA?
ABBA.
Okay, so you're eating Swedish fish. I got one of those chicka stick things
myself. I don't even know what is that. Is that some kind of vegan?
Yeah, it's like a vegan-y like coconut peanut butter kind of thing baked into a nice tubular log,
you know,
kind of thing.
You know what it looks like from here?
What's that?
It looks like a desiccated carrot.
Okay.
That comes in a wrapper.
Yeah. You honestly have never seen a chicka stick before?
No.
That's weird.
I've seen Swedish fish.
You're a weirdy.
Yeah.
You're a weirdy.
Little weirdy.
Hey, play that thing.
You want to play that thing?
Yeah, do it.
Beverages.
Yeah, you got a beverage?
I got a beverage.
What do you got?
Let's see what I got here. I got some great beverages.
Oh.
Ed picked me up another beverage.
Yep.
I've got a Boylan Bottling Company Birch Beer.
Boylan Bottling Birch Beer. Yeah.
Can't really say that too quickly.
No, it's got that thing going on, that kind of seashells by the seashore thing going on.
These cats are off East 43rd Street in New York.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I got the original Green River beverage. It's been caffeine-free since 1919. Oddly, this is out of Chicago, I believe. The WIT Beverage Company out of Chicago make Green River. Is the Green River from Green River Beverages not the Green River where all the murdered people are?
I guess I thought it was.
I did too. I knew about the Green River Beverages, and I just thought they were murder beverages.
I did not. I just knew about the Green River Killer.
Yeah?
Viewers up here in the Seattle area.
Yeah.
We've got our share of the murderers.
No more than, like, say, your Mississippi. You know?
Mississippi.
And they caught that guy, right? They caught the Green River Killer.
Did they?
Yeah. Like a couple few years ago.
Oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, that cat.
Yeah, the Green River Killer.
Gary whatever.
Lightbody? The guy from Snow Patrol?
Is the Green River Killer?
I don't know. Yeah, Green River. That's what I've got, a Green River beverage.
We'll do it all. Everything.
That is a super pretty guitar, John.
This is a really pretty guitar today.
Hey, you know what? We're going to do like a recap.
2018 recap. Yeah. All your favorite stuff from Ed and John.
Yeah. And I was thinking one thing that might be cool to do is to do like a top 10 guitars or, you know, our top five that we've covered or something like that.
Right.
I don't know. We haven't gotten into it yet, but I think the guitar you're holding, it's going to be in that list. I have
Oh. Man, listen to that thing. Oh. God damn.
Oh.
I think there's no other appropriate place to start on this guitar, Ed, than to start with materials. I got to ask you, Ed, what do you know about the wonderful world of aluminum?
You mean aluminium?
Aluminium. Yeah.
Not a lot.
It is a wondrous material.
Okay.
Do you know what its atomic number is by chance?
17.
13.
Oh, my God.
Well, aluminum, Ed, as we all know, it's a silvery white soft material. It's non-magnetic, and it's ductile.
I don't know what that means. Does that mean electricity?
You can form it and shape it and bend
it.
Oh,
sure.
It's workable.
Okay, ductile.
It is the third most abundant element after oxygen and silicon.
Oh.
Not only that, but if you're talking about just metals, not all materials,
right,
it is the most abundant metal in the Earth's crust.
All great aluminum facts. I'm bored.
We got ourselves an aluminum guitar here.
Oh, my God. I love it. It's an electrical guitar company, Series 2? Series 2.
Yes.
Which sort of has the Moserite body style to it.
Yeah, Moserite offset body style.
Yep.
This particular one is made out of acrylic.
It's see-through.
Yeah.
I can see John's belly.
How about that?
That's great.
The whole neck is machined out of one billet. I found out that if you look at a big chunk of metal, apparently those are called billets.
Okay. Do they pour the thing into a mold?
It is machined.
Okay. So there's just like a shit ton of aluminum shavings all over the floor.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I'm letting this cord ring out because the neck is aluminum, it lends itself to a greater resonance on the notes.
A lot of real sustain. Sustainy boy.
It's still sustaining. I'm just holding it.
It's amazing.
It doesn't care.
This shit is amazing.
The frets on this thing are stainless steel.
Uh-huh. You cut that off. We'd be here for the rest of the day.
In looking into this, I find out that the wonderful world of aluminum neck and or body guitars is wide and varied more than you might think.
It's a wondrous thing.
Yeah, how far back does it go, Ed? Who was doing this?
I think of Travis Bean.
Sure.
I think of Kramer.
Sure.
I think of Electrical Guitar Company.
Yep.
And I am done thinking about it.
Oh.
After that, I'm done.
Let me take you back to 1957.
Okay.
1957, Ed.
1957.
Wandre guitars.
Ooh.
They were made by this cat who was a sculptor in Italy, Italian guy. And he was making aluminum neck guitars as pieces of art.
Oh, okay.
Each one different.
But you could play them.
Oh, yeah, you could totally play them. In fact, some of them are so well made. Mm-hmm. I found one that 2 years ago was for sale for $40,000 US for a Wandre. Yeah.
For a Wandre.
Antonio Pioli.
Okay. Were these electric bad boys in the 50s?
Yep. Our man Antonio.
Solid. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What happened?
He died.
Yeah. Do we know how that happened?
No.
We don't? Oh, he just left us. Shuffled off this mortal coil.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cavriaggio, Italy.
Oh.
Some of them are so unique that they have been reissued by our guys over at Eastwood.
Not with aluminum necks.
No. The reissues have wooden necks, so that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But you can get...
Hard pass.
Yeah, you can get a Wandre
okay.
type guitar, uh-huh. I guess I should say.
Yeah.
From Eastwood. People were playing them. They were really popular with a guy named Buddy Miller. You know Buddy?
Boy, I'm not familiar with Mr. Miller. He seems cool.
Kind of a iconoclast Nashville cat who's played with a lot of artists. He only plays Wandres.
Huh. So he's aluminum neck Wandres?
Aluminum
or?
Neck Wandres.
Huh.
So here's a song called Worry Too Much from 2004.
Our boy?
Yeah, playing a Wandre.
2004, you said?
Yeah.
Is that him singing?
No.
It's a demolition derby.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sport of the hunt.
Yeah.
Crowd chopping right. For war dance. It's a slow smile.
What's Buddy up to?
Gives the run.
He's still playing.
Still doing stuff.
Still doing stuff.
Doing his wandering. He's out there traveling the road.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, he is.
All right.
And a lot of people apparently get these Wandres, and yeah. they do not get rid of them.
Sure.
If people like you and I...
A couple guys like us.
Thinking that a Travis Bean is a hard thing to find.
Yeah.
Try to find an original Wandre from 50 to 68. He only made them for 10 years.
You're saying I can't. You're almost like it's a challenge.
It's a challenge.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He was one of the first. So... Who takes over from Wandre? Who carries the flag for aluminum? Our favorite element.
Travis Bean?
No.
No.
Another guy.
Okay.
His name was John Valeno.
John Valeno.
Yeah. Have you heard of the Valeno guitars?
The Valenos? No.
Yeah.
I have not.
This cat was also a machinist.
Sure.
He wanted to start making aluminum guitars because yep. he saw it as a challenge.
Sure.
So he talked to a bunch of people that could help him, machinists, mm-hmm. Engineers. And
sure.
He started doing it, but he wasn't real plugged into like the music business. So once he gets this thing done,
yep.
and he's got these prototypes,
mm-hmm.
it's like 1972, 73.
Okay, okay.
He doesn't know anything about marketing.
Sure.
He gets a piece of advice that turns out to be real good for him.
Okay.
Show up early for the gigs, you know, as the national acts come through, and show up with a guitar. And
where's this dude at?
He's in Florida.
The Florida man.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Show up early with the case, uh-huh. so you look like you're with the band, and just walk in. Once you get in and the band starts sound checking,
yeah.
just put the case on the stage, open it up, take out the guitar, and start polishing it.
Yeah.
Because as soon as everybody sees this aluminum.
Yeah.
And his guitars were aluminum body
and neck. Yeah, yeah.
They're going to freak out, like, what the hell is that thing? And they're going to come over and ask you about it. And that's exactly what happened.
Okay.
Clapton, BB King, T-Rex. They all ended up with these things. They were played. But total of 5 years, he only made, like, less than 200 of them.
Okay. But Eric Clapton's playing one. B.B. King is playing one. What's B.B. King up to these days?
B.B. King?
Yeah.
He's doing stuff from beyond. Unlike this guitar, this electrical guitar company, this yep. weighs about 12 and a half, 13 pounds.
Yeah.
Valeno figured out a way to kind of route out more of the body.
Mm-hmm.
They were about 8.25 pounds.
Oh, that's
so they were
totally
lot,
reasonable. Yeah. That is a totally reasonable.
The headstock was this crazy V that he inlaid a ruby into.
Ooh, yeah. A ruby.
Yes.
Okay, that seems cool. The Kramers have that like V headstock as well, right?
Similar deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So, John Valeno.
Uh-huh.
Kurt Cobain.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Do you know that song, Very Ape?
Is that on...
In Utero, recorded with
Steve Albini.
Steve Albini.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
he
yeah.
borrowed one oh. of Steve Albini's oh, aluminum sure. guitars okay. for that song, and it was a Valeno.
Oh, really?
It was.
Oh, okay. I'm totally ready for this.
Yeah.
That's killer. I don't know the names of any of these songs. Should I know the name of this?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I put this in there too because, you know, maybe there's some relationship, maybe word spread because mm-hmm. then, you know, Eric Erlandson or Erlandson, guitar player for Hole.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
He loved the Valeno too, so he had to have one. So
okay.
He picked one up.
There's probably some connection. Sure.
So you can see that that's kind of what this thing excels at.
What kind of fuzz pedal you got there?
Today, Ed.
Yeah.
On the menu today.
Yeah.
Is the Fuzz Stang from our man Matt Wright.
Matt Wright. We had him on.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I should also say, I'm going to put this on too.
Yeah.
It was my birthday recently. Ed bought me a pedal.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
What a guy.
That was so nice. Ed bought me an Electro Harmonix Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
Reverby pedal.
Oh, you got some tremolo-y action there. Great. Yeah, that kind of happens. That's cool. That sounds great.
That's pretty nice, huh?
I love it. That guitar looks really, really cool. That neck is great on that thing.
It's a very thin neck.
Yeah.
We should probably mention that. Super, super thin because it doesn't need a truss rod.
Right.
But even clean.
Yep.
That thing sounds really nice. That's going through nothing, just the amp.
Yep. That's great.
So it's got the real abrasive tone. As I mentioned earlier, I'm on the bridge setting because I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But even if I wanted to.
Sure.
And I guess you could just like chill out.
Why would you do that? Okay, so we're up in the 70s.
Yeah, so our guy Valeno only makes them till 76, and he makes less than 200 of them.
Travis starts banging them out right after that, right?
74, whole other side of the country. He's not in Florida. Old Travis is out in California.
Sure.
He's doing his thing.
Fender, California?
Yeah.
Bean, California. He's off in Bean, California.
He's in Travis Bean, California.
Yep.
He was a machinist, metal sculptor.
Metal workers, weird.
They like the material, so artists, machinists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's out there trying to put this idea together. So he's got some prototypes, our man Travis Bean, in 1974.
Yep.
He needs some people to help him make them.
Okay.
So he gets a couple dudes. He gets this guy named Mark McElwee.
Okay, that's okay.
Or McElwee. You're
making names up now.
McElwee.
Okay.
Mark. Let's call him Mac.
Yeah.
L. Mac is a luthier. Guitar builder.
Yeah, because Travis Bean's are aluminum necks, wood bodies.
Koa, mostly Koa.
Yeah.
Koa bodies.
Okay.
So he gets Mark, Mac, to help him engineer and build these things.
Okay.
And he gets Gary Kramer.
Oh, Kramer.
And the three of them go into business, 1974. There's Travis Bean Guitars.
What? Yeah?
Yeah.
Did Kramer have a company already?
No.
Really?
But so this is 1974. By 1975, little difference of opinion.
Between Travis and Kramer?
Yeah. So our man Gary splits.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
So,
wow.
Yeah, so in 75, Gary splits and forms Kramer Guitars.
Wow. And they made aluminum neck guitars, too.
They did. Here's the thing.
Yeah?
Travis had a patent on the aluminum necks.
Okay.
Right? So what's Gary going to do? I'm going to flip this guitar upside down so Ed can see the back of the neck.
Yep.
Solid aluminum.
Sure.
If you route out a channel,
mm-hmm.
or two channels,
yep.
one down one side of the neck,
yep.
one down the other side of the neck,
yep.
just hollow them out a little bit,
yep.
and put wood inserts in there.
It's now a wood neck guitar.
It's lighter and different enough to avoid infringing on Travis's
God damn it.
Neck patent.
God damn it. People are terrible. Dudes were making aluminum neck guitars before Travis Bean came along, but he patents it and doesn't want anyone else doing it. Yep. So then, I don't know, maybe everyone's terrible.
So it's 1975 and now you've got Travis and Gary making aluminum neck guitars.
Okay.
Let's talk about Travis.
Mm-hmm.
Travis made the neck go right down into a block of metal.
Yeah.
Into the body. All one piece.
Right.
Out of one big billet. He could attach directly to that billet, that piece of metal, the pickups.
Sure.
So the whole thing would ring all the way through the neck.
Yeah.
That's where you get some of that characteristic sound.
Yeah.
And then he'd build the body around it out of Koa, primarily.
And that's probably just a ergonomic kind of thing. Like the body's just there to, you know, make it easier to play the thing.
But at the time, you know, mid-70s, I don't know how many people were using Koa necessarily.
Yeah,
I don't really know why he chose it, but...
Yeah.
But it was heavy.
Sure.
It was heavier than other guitars for sure.
Those Travis Beans are cool. They are super cool.
They're pretty cool.
Pretty great.
But all told, he only did it till 79.
Okay.
So 5 years. And he only made like 3,600 guitars.
Yep.
Which in 5 years is kind of a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should say that he went under, but his business acumen wasn't... He wanted to focus on his drum playing.
All of these goddamn guitar players that start companies and like, oh, their business acumen was not great. That's a very nice way of putting that. Yeah.
So
sure.
He wasn't, you know, maybe as focused on the business part or I don't know what was going on.
What's Travis Bean up to these days?
Oh, Travis Bean is not up to a whole lot, Ed, unfortunately.
Oh, no. What happened to him?
Lymphatic cancer.
That sucks.
2011. He was 63. But they have always enjoyed tremendous popularity. You want to hear some Travis Bean action?
Oh, okay.
Okay, tell me who this is, Ed.
Yep. It's not shellac.
It is not.
It's not silkworm.
It is not.
Who plays Travis Beans? This is killer. Whoever it is.
This is 1991.
I love it. I love it less now, but okay.
That was our man Dwayne Dennison of the Jesus Lizard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I said yeah.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Well, you want to try another one, see if you do any better?
Sure.
Okay, here's another one. This is 1995.
This I know. Wait, this is Sonic Youth, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Oh, this is on Travis Beans?
Lee Ranaldo.
Yeah.
Lee Ranaldo's part was on a Travis Bean.
Yeah. Huh.
You know what's really cool about that, too? You can go to YouTube and the name of that song is Because.
Yeah.
Type that into YouTube. You can see a video of them playing it live, and he's playing the Travis Bean. It's pretty cool.
What year's that?
95.
95.
So you keep asking me about shellac, of course. One of my favorites, Prayer to God. Yeah.
To the one true God above, here is my prayer. Not the first you've heard, but the first I wrote. Not the first, but the others were a long time ago.
I love it.
That's just amazing. Amazing on so many levels. Not only the guitar, the Travis Bean sound, but Steve Albini can record a set of drums like nobody.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And just the genre of that song, it's like, what a cool way to update
a
murder ballad.
Yeah.
Make it this kind of like alt, weird kind of...
It's really great.
Not country murder ballad.
It is not very country, that song. No. This might be a guitar that I actually go back on that whole I don't know if... It matters, the whole aluminum neck thing, I think it might kind of matter. I think at the very least, Steve Albini seems to make some sounds come out of a guitar that you don't hear many other people seem to be able to make.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I don't know if that's, you know, is that 90% Steve Albini and 10% the guitar? Is it 100% Steve Albini?
I've noticed in the little bit of time I've been messing around with this that it really responds to how you play.
Yeah.
And I see that as maybe a double-edged sword. Also, how the guitar is set up. This thing's got very heavy strings on it.
Yeah.
And I've heard that they'll sound like shit if you don't do that.
But, I don't know. I played it, and it's got 11s on it, probably, something like that. But it you can do crazy bends on that thing, and it's just, it plays really nice.
Yeah.
Like, it is not hard to play with heavier strings on it.
But it's just really responsive.
Yep. You know what? We're going on this episode, and we haven't even gotten to Electrical Guitar Company yet.
You know the Coach Whips?
No, I do not.
You don't know the Coach Whips?
I do not know them.
And their classic album from 2004, Bangers versus Fuckers.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, this is I Knew Her, She Knew Me.
Okay. Yeah. These guys, they are not messing around with the aggressive, distorted noise. Yeah.
Isn't that great?
That's pretty good. Yeah. John's making some faces over there while he's playing today.
Yeah, I like to think I'm immune to guitar face. Apparently not.
No, not exactly. You're not.
2003, our man Kevin Burkett.
Okay.
Kevin Burkett is the guy behind Electrical Guitar Company, the maker of these here and this here guitar.
Yeah.
He learned from and consulted with when he was getting started.
Yeah.
He was a big fan.
Right.
Big fan of Travis Bean, all the aluminum stuff. And since he was a machinist, I want to do that. I want to make those guitars. How am I going to learn how to do this?
Sure.
He gets in touch with our man Mark McElwee.
Okay, the guy not Kramer, not Travis Bean, the other guy,
the luthier builder guy.
Sure.
It's like, hey, can I consult with you?
Yeah.
Can I show you stuff? Can I?
Yeah.
You know, will you teach me?
Right.
And
yeah.
He gets together with two other people. He must have just, like, the balls on this guy.
Yeah.
Who else? He wants to start making this. Who else does he get in contact
with? Travis Bean and Matt Kramer. Randy Kramer? John Kramer.
Steve Albini.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And Rita Bean. Florida-based also. Pensacola.
You know, I was born in Florida.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yep.
John lived in Florida for a little while.
Yep.
How'd you like that?
I did not like it. In fact, I pulled this up for you, Ed.
Yeah.
As long as we're talking about the Electrical Guitar Company.
Sure.
And you mentioned the Melvins.
Yeah.
Here's a song called Stop Moving to Florida. It's awesome.
Yes, it is. It is awesome. John and Ed are both smiling. That's good. Yeah. Yeah.
That's great, isn't it?
I like them a lot. I do. That's great because it's just kind of classic rocky.
Yeah. And our man King Buzzo?
Yeah.
Has an Electrical Guitar Company signature model.
Yes, he does. He does.
So, you know, that's pretty cool.
I have wanted to play one of those guitars for a very long time, and that is the first one I've actually seen in person, and it is killer.
Well, our man Kevin ups the game.
He upped the game. He went ahead and just upped it.
Yeah, well, we had Valeno.
Sure.
Valeno produced a couple few that were all aluminum.
Yep.
Or mostly aluminum.
Yep, yep.
Kevin, all aluminum. Of course.
Yeah, he made...
We're looking at this acrylic one, so he branched out later, but he wanted to do it...
All aluminum.
All aluminum, that's what he did.
The bodies weren't solid, though. They weren't like one billet piece of aluminum.
The backs were called pans.
Okay.
You know, because they had sides and were attached to the fronts.
Yeah, because that thing would weigh a fucking ton.
I think it would weigh a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
He also now makes some wooden bodies.
Yeah.
Acrylic that we have here, but aluminum is by far the most popular thing he does.
Yeah, because they also have like a bunch of finishes. They have the totally mirrored finish.
Yeah.
But then they've also got the brushed.
The anodized.
Anodized.
The mirror finish is apparently a pain in the ass. I did some looking into that.
Yeah.
So if you've got aluminum.
Yep.
You can't just like chrome it.
Okay.
The nature of the metal won't allow it.
Yeah.
So you have to plate it in copper first.
Okay.
Then you have to plate that copper with nickel.
Okay.
Then you can chrome it.
Yeah, and they also, a lot of the electrical guitar company, they post on, maybe it's on Instagram, I think they post a bunch of pictures, and whenever the dudes are holding a guitar up, they're always wearing those blue gloves, the latex gloves, so they don't even handle the things with bare hands. So
speaking of bare hands and the wear on these things.
Yeah.
So you notice that there's a back plate.
Mm-hmm.
That is because the pick guard is screwed straight through the body into the back plate.
Yeah.
You can kind of see from the side.
Yep.
Now, what keeps that back plate from getting all fucked up? I don't know if you can see the texture on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's black. It's metal.
Yep.
But it's got kind of like a crinkly black finish. That is called Imron.
Oh.
It is an automotive epoxy.
Oh.
So it's super crazy durable.
Okay.
It's amazing. It's really fun to play these. He does these in lots of different shapes, like lots of standard shapes. So you can get one shape like this, which is kind of like High Flyer or Moserite kind of deal.
Yep.
SGs.
Yep.
Juniors. Flying Vs. V. You know, all kinds of different shapes.
Yep.
He'll do it for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of cool. They continue to be popular with people like the Melvins, Neurosis, Mastodon, Shellac. I think I should play another Shellac song for you because.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds like he's playing a metal guitar.
Yeah.
It sounds like just metal on metal. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
I love it.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yep. Todd Trainer on drums. That guy, he is a beast on the drums.
He is.
That whole band. That whole band is a three-piece. They are crazy tight.
Yep.
Crazy tight.
In 2014.
Yeah.
You know what happens?
2014. No, I don't.
Rita comes back, Travis Bean's widow.
Okay.
And says, hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
Since we're so helpful getting you off the ground with your company and now you're doing so well.
Right.
Can you help me relaunch?
Oh.
Some of Travis Bean's unreleased designs.
Oh, my goodness.
From the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
In 97, Travis Bean thought, I'm coming back. I got some great new ideas for design.
Right.
So he made these new ideas.
Okay.
He made less than 20 prototypes.
Okay.
And he was going to reissue them. He was going to go to NAMM. It's like, I'm back, man. Woo! And then the financing fell through.
Sure.
So by 99, it just died. It never went anywhere.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything about, like, hey, what happened to those 20 prototypes?
Sure.
But so then later in 2014, Rita came back to our man Kevin and said, remember those prototypes Travis did in 1997?
Yep.
Let's start a company called Travis Bean Designs.
Okay.
And we'll do those designs.
Okay.
So they started it.
Yeah.
I went to the website. You can see the designs.
Yeah.
You hit the buy button and it says, oh, go to Reverb.
Okay.
You go to Reverb and there's nothing up there right now. So I don't know if that means they all sold out.
Yeah.
Or the thing never happened. Or.
Oh, could you find any indication that they made them and they're out?
I could not. So if anybody knows.
Yeah. I bet
that. That would be pretty cool.
Hey, internet. If anyone on the internet knows, I bet people on the internet know. There are a bunch of smarty people.
Also, another thing that never apparently happened.
Yeah.
The last reference I could find to it was 2009.
Yeah.
A documentary called Sustain.
Oh.
About Travis Mean Guitars and the individuals that built them.
Hmm. Okay.
And the players who play them and all that kind of stuff. It was reportedly in development.
Yeah.
And I see no other references to it.
Huh. You used to be able to go on the electrical guitar company website, and you could just order pretty much whatever you wanted. I think you could even request body shapes that they didn't currently have in their lineup. Like, they would just custom make people stuff. And they've stopped that now. I went on the website not too long ago.
I can imagine for the time it would take to kind of tool up for some different.
Yep. Yeah, now you can just get their standard models and kind of like. But you used to be able to just get super customized exactly what you wanted.
Yeah.
You got any idea how many of these things they crank out in a year?
I don't know what the production numbers are, but I think in the time he's been in business, I mean, you got to think, 2003.
What's the number on the back of that thing? It's on the neck. It's like...
This is number 680 Series 2.
Yeah. Old Blood Noise Endeavors. Old Blood Noise Endeavors, and oh, look at you.
Yeah, I'm going all ambient.
Yeah. How many kind of custom models do these guys make? They make the Buzzo?
They make the Shellac. I don't know.
Yeah.
If you want to get one of these,
yeah,
the wait is longer.
Yeah, get in line.
A lot of people would also like to have one of these.
I love it.
Yeah, so do I. This is just...
I think I would have a hard time with the weight, because it is heavy.
It's heavy.
I think I would not love that as just a regular banging around with it, but outside of the weight, I don't know. I love everything about it.
Yeah, can you imagine, though, if it was your like banging around, like playing out gigger kind of thing, like if you could deal with the weight, to know, like, well, you're not going to break it.
Yeah. You are not. Yeah, you're not breaking the headstock off or anything.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm playing it dry because maybe that's instructive.
Yeah. Do you find the super thin neck? Because the neck is crazy thin. Is it weird? Do you find it weird to play?
That's a really good question, because I've played like an SG.
Yeah.
I've played the Hagstrom, which has a really thin neck. I guess you can kind of get used to it.
Yeah, it's not that thin. That is the thinnest neck of anything we've had in here. Easily. Easily. It's a really thin neck. Right?
It is. It's super thin.
Yeah.
That is the swell guitar, Ed.
Yeah. Going into like a year-end wrap-up, that guitar is rapidly moving on up.
Is it?
My favorite guitars ever. A Travis Bean or an electrical? I don't think I would really care one way or the other. I actually think electrical makes some more interesting designs. Like, yeah, I kind of like their designs better.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, Ed.
All right.
Wow, next episode is our end of the year wrap up.
Yep.
Our summary.
Be fun.
Our look back.
Yep. I think it's amazing that we started this thing and haven't missed a week. I think that's pretty good. 30, however many. I don't know what that'll be. 30.
30 a lot.
30. Yeah.
Yeah. Through holidays, good. Vacations, sicknesses, typhoons.
Yep.
Plagues.
Yeah. You guys should go to the Instagram. You can see some cool pictures of that guitar.
Yep.
See some cat pictures and dog pictures.
Yep.
Guitar pictures.
And we will see you next week for the year-end wrap-up.
Great.